Seen through a thin screen of pine trees, the little village looked abandoned, except for a few dingy off-white curtains wafting in the gentle breeze. Nothing moved among its cluster of drab one-story houses or along its rutted dirt streets. Old model civilian cars and light trucks, more rust and dense than anything else, were parked outside some of the homes. Crouched in cover near the edge of the forest, Polish Special Forces Major Nadia Rosek slowly lowered her binoculars. According to the intelligence briefing for this special training exercise, a simulated force of Russian Spetsnaz commandos was holed up in the town, probably using its inhabitants as human shields. Which meant appearances were deceiving. A slight frown creased her attractive tanned face. More than 100 meters of open ground separated these woods from the nearest houses. No competent enemy commander would miss the chance to turn that clear stretch into a killing zone.
Resjeden do Resjtsia,
she radioed.
Links 1 to Links 3, report.
Links 3 was her two-man sniper team. They had infiltrated in ahead of the rest of the assault force. By now, they should have settled into a concealed position that offered them a good view of the town and its immediate surroundings.
Links 3 to 1.
Sergeant Karol Sikora's calm voice crackled through her earphones.
We see no sign of the enemy on this side of the village. There are no thermal traces in the buildings we have eyes on. Repeat, none.
Nadia bit down on the urge to tell him to look harder. The sergeant wasn't a rookie. Like her, Sikora was a veteran of the Iron Wolf Squadron, an elite high-tech force of pilots, intelligence operatives, and special operations soldiers that had helped defend Poland and its Eastern European allies against periodic Russian aggression for several years. Originally, the squadron's men and women were all foreign-born, mostly Americans. In fact, she'd first been assigned to Iron Wolf chiefly as a liaison officer for Poland's president, Piotr Wilk. But as casualties mounted, more Poles joined the unit in combat roles, accumulating valuable experience and technical expertise before rotating back to their nation's regular armed forces. So when the sniper sergeant said there weren't any Spetsnaz troops deployed in the houses with fields of fire covering this approach, she could take it to the bank. Which left one big problem. Where in hell were the Russians she'd come to kill? Were they really foolish enough to let her soldiers push inside the town without a fight? No, she decided. Somehow she was still missing a piece of this tactical puzzle. Nadia's frown deepened. The clock was running. Every second she spent now trying to decide what to do next would cost her dearly later, on the back end of this mission. But while speed was life when you were already under fire, attacking blindly without thorough reconnaissance was usually a recipe for disaster. Her mind ran faster. By refusing to defend the edge of the village, her Spetsnaz opponents clearly wanted to lure her into risking a quick dash across that wide open ground ahead of them, which meant...
Links 3, this is 1,
Nadia said into her headset mic.
Check out the tree line on our right and left flanks. Don't rush it. Take your time and do a thorough job.
Understood, Links 1,
Sikora replied.
Scanning now.
In these conditions, the SCT-2 thermal sights he and his spotter were using should be able to pick out a human-sized target at well over 1,000 meters. If the Russian troops were sheltering under anti-infrared camouflage cloth, it would be tougher to spot them. But nothing short of the highly advanced camouflage systems used by Iron Wolf's combat robots could render a target effectively invisible, and those were systems Russia still could not replicate. Nadia glanced over her shoulder. Her assault force, broken into 3 6-man sections, squatted among the trees close by, waiting for the order to go in. Bulky in their body armor, tactical vests, Kevlar helmets, and shatterproof goggles, most of her Special Forces soldiers cradled short-barreled Heckler & Koch HK-416 carbines. She could sense their eagerness. Like wolfhounds scenting prey, they were keyed up, straining at the leash.
3 to 1,
Sikora said suddenly.
You are right, Major. There's a Russian weapons team dug in on the edge of the woods about 200 meters off on our left flank. I count two Spetsnaz troops with a PKP machine gun sighted to sweep the clear ground.